Dear Cheap Astronomy, can we terraform Venus? Well, maybe, though it would require some very advanced planetary engineering and huge amounts of energy and money. And whether you could then keep Venus terraformed without ongoing engineering interventions is doubtful, although you could probably say the same for Mars terraforming plans. The first issue you have to deal with is Venus's atmosphere, which is very dense and crazy hot because it's primarily CO2. Here, there are several options, the first being chemistry, where we could add hydrogen to the CO2 to produce graphite, essentially solid carbon, and water. This endeavour would require 40 quintillion kilograms of hydrogen, which you'd probably need to ship from Jupiter, and apparently you'd also need a moderate amount of aerosolized iron to make the reaction happen, which is proposed to be mined from Mercury and then aerosolized throughout Venus's atmosphere somehow. An easier and less science fiction-y alternative might be to bury all the CO2 using CO2 sequestration techniques, which may already be achievable on a small scale on Earth using current technologies. Except it's expensive, and the outcome would just be global benefit rather than individual or national benefit. So for now, we're just watching all the forests burn. Anyhow, just dealing with the atmosphere doesn't deal with the issue that Venus receives around twice as much solar flux as the Earth does. The best solution to deal with that is some kind of solar shade. Ideally, a structure with four times the diameter of Venus, sitting at the Sun-Venus Lagrange point 1. As well as shading Venus, this would also help reduce the solar wind pressure, which may otherwise blow away any terraformed atmosphere you establish. Trouble is, if your solar shade is deflecting solar wind, as well as photons, it will eventually get pushed out of position. So the shade might need louvers to let some wind particles and photons through at particular angles. A whole different idea is to start colonizing Venus with lots of cloud cities that have reflective surfaces. And those cities could be built from carbon extracted from the atmosphere, which would mean the first stages of colonization were contributing to the latest stages of colonization, since building the cities would both shade the planet and thin the atmosphere. A whole different approach is that you first cool the atmosphere right down with extreme shading so as to freeze all the CO2 out into a solid, and then you just launch that solid CO2 off the planet, perhaps shipping it to Mars to help with the terraforming efforts there. Also, if we launched big chunks of frozen CO2 at escape velocity, all in the same angular direction, we could increase the spin of the planet. Freezing out the dense CO2 atmosphere would form an ice crust several hundred meters thick, so you would have a substantial amount of mass to work with. Alternatively, we could apply that same idea in reverse by bombarding Venus with objects, aligning the trajectories of those bombarding objects so as to increase Venus's spin rate. Such heavy sustained bombardment would thin the CO2 atmosphere by just blowing a lot of it into space, and if you ensured the bombarding objects were primarily water ice, perhaps harvested from the outer solar system, you would also be adding water to Venus's surface. But all that said, there is some debate about whether we do actually want to spin Venus faster. Once you've got rid of most of the CO2 and have established water oceans, the sunlit side will probably always be covered with high albedo clouds, which will cool the lit side of the planet, and the dark side will be cool anyway, because it's dark. So, spinning Venus faster may end up raising the average surface temperature. Nonetheless, a key advantage of spinning up Venus is that you might give it a magnetosphere, like Earth's, and hence protect the newly terraformed atmosphere from being blown away by the solar wind, assuming the giant louvered sunshade isn't enough. Alternatively, if we didn't want to spin Venus faster, and the sunshade still wasn't enough, we could deploy refrigerated superconducting rings. Or we could position a giant magnetic dipole at the L1 Lagrange point, either method producing an effective artificial magnetosphere. Heck, with this sort of thinking, it's a wonder we haven't moved in already.